This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're having some fun here on a Friday. I mean, this thing is spreading like wildfire. The loyal opposition, a bar, a haters haven, if you will, for Bay Area sports fans that aren't from here, but just kind of like to root against Bay Area sports teams. It's evolved into something over the course of a few hours that I didn't even think was possible. And I got to say, Matt Steinmetz, this might be one of your crowning achievements.
Well, as you know, I've got a lot of love for fans of all ages and all teams, but there's always a small minority of fans who are a real turnoff. And sometimes that small minority of fans are such a turnoff that you find yourself rooting against the teams that they root for, meaning the Giants, the Warriors, and the 49ers. And so I figured... maybe we or somebody could open up a sports bar that's dedicated to rooting against the Giants, Warriors, and 49ers. And obviously the one thing, and we're brainstorming here, but one of the things we would absolutely need, I'd like to have mascots there. So like Mr. Met could be there. The Philly Fanatic would obviously be there. The San Diego Chicken. No Lucille, obviously, cannot come in.
What about Thunder?
Thunder's out. Thunder's out, too. I'm sorry. And Sourdough Sam, no room at the inn.
Crazy Crap?
No.
And also, too, like, and this is where I think there's levels to some of the athletes that we would invite. It has to be an athlete that has extracted pain, or really been involved, just personally responsible for a low light in one of these teams' histories. For example, and I know people don't like this athlete, but I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I'm necessarily inviting him. He's not one of my first calls. James Harden does not have enough success against the Warriors to be someone that I'm making one of the first calls to. Now, Kawhi Leonard... as someone who has beaten the Warriors in the finals, that's someone I am comfortable inviting. But I don't know if James Harden, I mean, he's known for turning the ball over 13 times against the Warriors, not for ripping their hearts out.
I would absolutely allow James Harden in, and I'd probably give him a corner table.
Really?
Yeah, because even though he really never got over on the Warriors, I think he's highly disliked. And, you know, that's the number one prerequisite to get into this bar is you've got to be highly unliked by Bay Area fans. And he is. And so I would want him at my bar.
And this is a level that we haven't broached yet, but I seriously think that Adam Silver's invited. Everyone hates Adam Silver.
Huh.
For the way that the league is going. And you know who else is personally responsible, I think, in a lot of people's minds for the predicament the Warriors may find themselves in with a lot of large money contracts and not much room to pretty much do anything with? CJ McCollum. He's the man who signed the new CBA contract.
Oh, that's too nuanced.
Well,
that's
pull
too
up.
Nuanced.
Pull up, CJ, because he's kind of responsible. Yeah, Joe Buck is emceeing 916. He's in there. He's guest speaking a couple of these nights.
Anyway, just having some fun with it.
I know we are. Oh boy.
See, where do we go from here?
Somebody asked about the food selection too. Would the food selection also be anti-barrier? No garlic fries, no seafood, no sourdough bread?
No, none of that stuff.
Mission style, got to be out.
In fact, just because it's the Bay Area and, you know, we have a lot of healthy people, it would have to be the most unhealthy menu we can come up with. Like buffalo wings for sure, macaroni
and maybe
cheese.
Depending on the teams who's in, like the teams that are in town, yeah. You go based off maybe the favorite of the city.
Right, like the special when the Lakers would be in town would be, you know, LeBron-aroni and cheese.
Well, and
something like
in
that.
Honor of the Timberwolves, cheese curds are a Midwestern classic, so it's fatty.
Yeah,
we pretty scrumptious, like, but.
I mean, like a signature item would be like the Philly cheesesteak.
Yep.
For sure. We definitely have New York style pizza.
Skyline chili from Cincinnati.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's just a heinous type of
hey,
order.
I kind of want to talk about something else now.
Okay. Well, this is your idea, so you can steer us wherever you want to go. I mean, I got some things that are written down, but LeBron James congratulated Luka Doncic on his new deal.
Hey, you know, I have this fool on my list too.
Who?
What is going on? What is he doing?
Who? Luka or LeBron?
Luka Doncic.
Well, he's getting in shape.
No. I mean, what? There's been a story on him for 14 straight days on the internet. Like, he's doing a media tour.
Basically.
Why?
Because he's the new face of the Lakers. He's invited.
I don't know.
I feel like this is more of a personal thing.
It is. It
yeah,
is.
You don't like Luka Doncic.
No, I'm not a huge fan.
Well, this year when he sticks it to you because he lost 50 pounds and he's got biceps that are bulging and is still going to score 32 points a game, I think he might change your mind. I'm in on him. I Steiny, in general, sincerely, but also kind of since we're having fun today.
Yeah.
I really do root for people that are trying to improve themselves. Why are you laughing at that? Since I do. I want you to improve yourself. I know Guru has been in the gym. I tell you guys every day, I want you guys to become better versions of yourselves.
I like people who try to better themselves and keep their mouth shut about it. That's the kind of person I like. The kind of person who gets told, hey, you're looking good these days. You lose weight? Yes. I've lost 15 pounds. And you didn't hear me talk about it. I just did it.
No, but
those
you're the
people
kind
I
of person
like.
That will gently suggest why you haven't asked why you've lost some weight.
Yeah.
The Dellavedova club sandwich.
Oh, he's in. Dellavedova's in. For absolute, for certain.
So
Sabonis is in too.
Well, yeah, until he beats the Warriors again in a winner take all, or loses to the Warriors again, I should say, in a winner take all playoff game. So Steiny,
all right,
what did you want to get into?
Well, I'm trying to think. There's two things. You know what? What the hell? Let's get nuts. You see, the Warriors are interested in Josh Giddey.
I did.
Oof.
And it would be, theoretically, a trade that involved Jonathan Kuminga going to the Bulls.
Right, and that's hard to, figure out logistically.
Why do you think that, like, why is this news? Or why do you think that, and this was from Jake Fisher, who works with Mark Stein of the Stein Line, who reported this yesterday, I think. That the Warriors have interest in Josh Giddey.
I believe it. I would change the word interest to sniffing around. For example, I think there's players out there that the Warriors may not be totally all interested in, but they're at the point now where they've got to exhaust every resource. And if they don't think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be on the team, then they've got to get the best player available. I got news for you, though. I mean, Josh Giddey's better than Kuminga. I mean, he's better, and I think he's a better fit on the Warriors. Like, if you could tell me that, yeah, you're going to lose Kuminga, but you get Giddey, I think you'd have to do that if you're the Warriors, even if you think Kuminga's got a bigger upside. But again, you know, this would all involve aprons and caps and stuff like that. But I wouldn't dismiss it because there aren't a lot of players that are available and the restricted free agents are still in play. So why not find out what's going on with each of them?
But that's why this piece of news I think is interesting, because last week the Warriors stripped all sign and trade options, supposedly. Like they said, we're not trading Jonathan Kuminga. They turned down the Kings deal. They've turned down the Suns deal, the two teams that were linked to him. And now this week, after supposedly shutting down all sign and trade possibilities, they're interested in Giddey. That's why I do not rule that off the table. Like, I don't think that it's just signed, sealed, delivered that Kuminga is going to be back on this team next year, because they're still trying to find ways to move him. I think that publicly they want to appear like they're playing hardball. They want to appear like they're digging in, and they're going to force this young man to take 2 for $45 with the team option on the back end, or say, hit the pike and sign that qualifying offer, which they don't believe he'll do. I mean, it's more posturing from Golden State is what I read it as.
And that's the word. The word is posturing, and the Warriors have to keep every option open still, even if they're down on Kuminga. The one thing that I saw to me, and I get it. Some people are high on Kuminga, some people aren't as high as on Kuminga. But you know, I open up NBC Sports Bay Area's website the other day, and I finally felt like somebody wrote something that just gets to the crux of the matter. And it was Monty Poole, and he basically just said, "Has anybody stopped to think about logistically what happens if Kuminga's at media day after the last 4 or 5 years, but particularly this offseason?" And it's so easy, and maybe I'm jumping on this right now because Goo's not here and I know he feels the opposite way about it, but I think that's a recipe for disaster. I don't think when you say, oh, the culture could with, no, I don't think it can. I'm like, the way I always look at the Kuminga thing, okay, so he's on the team on media day. What happens? Well, all the media goes up to Jonathan Kuminga. Do you want to be here? I'm under contract. I'm going to play hard. Okay. Then you go to Kerr. Hey, Jonathan's back. We know he wanted that. But it's not going to go away. They will be under ridiculous scrutiny. And on the one hand, I subscribe to the theory, like, who cares about the media? Who cares what they think? But the reality is, if the media is in that locker room asking players about Kuminga, that is a little bit of a distraction, and that can impact a team. But I'm also talking about, do you realize, you know, the first three games of the year, let's say, the scrutiny, how many minutes did he play? Oh, did he miss a defensive assignment? What was his body language like when he came out of the game? Did he give Steve Kerr, you know, a fist bump or not? Like, all that stuff is going to be talked about. It just is. I mean, for goodness sakes, how many times have we talked about the game in Portland where Kuminga, you know, didn't pass it to Steph Curry and Steph was visibly, you know, upset? It's like, you can't do that. You can't You can't have a season like that. And that's, to me, the biggest danger of bringing him back.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live in the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Well, here's an excerpt from that piece that you're talking about with Monty Poole that I think kind of sums it up. A fifth year of Warriors-Kuminga matrimony would invite all manner of vulture curiosity, as both parties will be under the brightest and sometimes harshest of lights. The Warriors are willing to move on, and Kuminga is eager to do the same. Living emotionally separate under the same roof, sharing the same locker room, is bound to present challenges. I totally agree. And I don't understand how it can be fixed at this point. And to me, bringing back a distraction that isn't even a major component of your team, as demonstrated by the amount of DMPs he got down the stretch last year, to me, it's only gonna bring a circus.
Right.
And it's not gonna be about basketball. Every single night, we're gonna be talking about, well, how did the Warriors do, and how did Kuminga do? What's the Kuminga stock? Where are the Warriors trending? Can they use him? And the other part that I find impossible to believe is that if Jonathan's on the team next season, how can he not be thinking about playing for himself? I mean, you know, I would argue that for everyone who described this as betting on himself, and we all respect people that do that in some way, shape, or form, didn't he bet on himself last year?
Yeah.
I mean, he knew he was going to be a restricted free agent. And whether it was going to be with the Warriors or with another team, he bet on himself last year by not coming to a contract agreement with the Warriors. He did it last season, and look what happened. By the end of the year, he was on the bench and not playing in the most important games until they literally had no other choice. Last season, he bet on himself, and I'm sorry. Like I love Martin. I love Fresh Prince. I love Seinfeld. I don't love Warriors reruns. Like I don't want to watch this again play out, because the furnace is just going to be turned up even hotter. And to me, it's not going to be good for him, and it's certainly not going to be good for you, as you're talking about, I think, some of the veterans that might look at this as their last best chance to compete for a championship.
Yeah, and you know, this is from Uncle Looney on the YouTube chat. How would Media Day be different than the last three Media Days, Steiny? And then every single player, every team has players that are upset. Steiny knows, upset with playing time. Steiny knows this. There's a big difference in both those, Uncle Looney. And that is, you know, Jonathan Kuminga's first Media Day, everyone's finding out who he is. The second year, you talk about what his role's going to be or how much he wants to play. The third year is, well, this has got to be the year, right, Jonathan? Yes. Last year was about, you didn't get the you didn't get a contract extension. What does that mean? And now this year it's going to be, we all know you don't want to be here, essentially. So it takes on a far greater magnitude. The other thing is, I know that other teams have players that don't like their playing time, but that's part of this issue is, you know, Moses Moody wants more minutes too. He's been jerked around. He's handled it a certain way, and Kuminga has handled it another type of way. And I think, and I'm just telling you this, I think the way the Warriors view it is they look at Moody as, even when he's not getting his minutes, he's always staying ready. Do you think they believe that about Kuminga, despite what he did against Minnesota? I'm talking about game after game after game. I don't think they trust Kuminga and his mindset like they trust Moody's and his.
Well, and that's why, like, when Monty Poole asked this question, I think there's only one answer. Is there any doubt that one glaring mistake by Kuminga will intensify the scrutiny and raise the temperature of the marriage? No, there's no doubt. If there's anybody that doesn't feel like a bad game, God forbid, a mistake like the one he made against the Lakers, which cost them a game-winning basket against Austin Reeves. If anyone doesn't believe that that's going to cost him, I'm sorry. Like, we haven't been watching the same Warriors team, and we haven't been watching the same player for the last 4 years. Those kinds of mistakes, whether it's in game one or game 54, they're going to cost him. And especially if he comes back, for example, Steiny, under a two-year deal in which he knows he has no control over where he goes. He knows that he had to sign that team option, which is, you know, reportedly the only deal on the table for him from Golden State. And he has no control over where the Warriors choose to trade him. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know how he can't play as even more of an individual. And that to me was, to go back to 2023, like, that was the most glaring part about Jordan Poole's game. Like, we know that Poole was always a gunner and someone that, you know, had the ha-ha and kind of got stuff for himself. But in 2022, it was such a difference between his play during the championship run and the play the year after he got punched. And I'm sorry, you cannot tell me that it didn't impact the way that he played. Poole, he still averaged 20 points, but on some nights, you just felt like he was out there trying to get his. And again, if this is a team that's not trying to contend and a team that's not trying to bid for another potential deep playoff run, then all that's out the window. But the guys, the leaders on this team, whether they understand the contract situation or not, and I believe that they're fine with guys trying to go get their money. What I don't think they're fine with is this player or the relationship between the player and coach being a massive distraction all year that they're going to have to talk about.
Yes, and here's where I'll take it further. If you want to say, this is media. This has nothing to do with the team. This is the media. The media. Okay. Then I'd bring this up. Nobody knew that Jordan Poole was punched. Like nobody, it wasn't known when it happened. And if that had never gotten out, had the punch never gotten out, I believe the Warriors still would have been impacted because everybody on the inside of that building knew that once that incident had happened, Jordan Poole checked out and Draymond Green had to reassess some things. So to me, it's not just the media. It's going to be, forget the media, when Kuminga's in that locker room and if he's not all the way in, that's what affects everybody. And that's a danger that can be avoided if he's not on the team. If he is on the team, you're going to have to deal with it. That's the way I look at it.
Well, and the reason why we're talking about this is, according to Jake Fisher of the Stein Line, the Warriors they're interested in Josh Giddey. From the 813 in the Boxer and Gerson Worker Injury Attorneys text line, even if you get Josh Giddey, is he reportedly looking to make $30 million a year? Are you willing to pay him that if you're Golden State? Probably not. And I doubt that Giddey's on the Warriors next year, but the point is that they're interested in him. On the heels of last week saying that all sign and trade possibilities for Kuminga are off the table, I don't think they've closed the door on that yet. I still think they're trying to find a way to move him. And I think that Kuminga is still looking for a way to get out of here. And if that drags on, which it looks like it's going to, through August, into September, I believe maybe even up until the October 1st deadline in which Kuminga has to decide whether or not he's signing the qualifying offer or not, that's going to linger. Like, those feelings that have built over the course of this entire summer and are going to continue to build, and there's going to be rumors that leak out here and details that leak out here, that's going to be taken into camp by not just the player, but I think also the team. And to me, that can't be where the season starts, is where it ended last year, which is, what are you doing with this player? It can't start where it left off. Otherwise, I think trouble's brewing.
I agree. And, you know, the other thing is, let's take the three veterans, Butler, Green, and Curry. if they don't believe that Jonathan Kuminga has paid the price or has, you know, if they don't believe he's got a gripe, in other words, if they're looking at this situation saying, man, Jonathan, he wants to play more, but he's still not doing the things we need him to do, then they're going to grow exasperated when they constantly get asked about Kuminga, because deep down, I don't think they think he is a star and that they have to have him and that the future depends on it. So when writers come up to Curry and Draymond, Kuminga, you know, this, that, and the other thing, I think over time they're going to be like, with all due respect, why are we spending so much time on a 22-year-old guy that's not good enough to be a starter?
It's the same reason why people wondering why we're still talking about it.
Exactly.
And again, like, that's this conversation that some people enjoy, some people don't. It's going to linger. Like, it's going to continue to happen during the season, in which it should be about basketball. And are the Warriors good enough? Do the players that they've acquired put them into a different category? How much does Curry has left? Does Jimmy Butler have the same sort of impact a year after he's been traded that he did for the final 35 games of the season? Like, these are all questions that are legitimate that the Warriors have to answer. But no, they're going to be talked and they're going to be asked about, well, do you think he's got a place on this team? What do you think his role is? What do you think his future is? And eventually it's going to get to a point where one of these players, I don't know if it's Curry, I don't know if it's Jimmy, I don't know if it's Dre, someone's going to just be like, dude, I don't care. I don't care, which is a point that they might already be at. Anyways, and on the other side, there's also something about these negotiations that I think also applies to the 49ers. And I got a question that I want to throw out there on the other side at 888-957-9570 in regards to just how two different individuals have handled their respective situations and if that impacts the way that we look at them. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson with Matt Steinmetz, having some fun on a Friday. Tap in. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. After this, Steiny and Guru.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Matt Steinmetz with you here as well, about a half hour away from the crossover. We got What's Bugging You, brought to you by Atco Pest Control, coming up at 2 o'clock. I want you to help me with something if you can, Steiny.
Sure.
Well, we've been talking a lot this summer, but also today, not about your crazy but kind of great idea. We've been talking about the way that, like, negotiations are being handled, you know, publicly, privately, how it makes people and fans, I think, mostly feel about these players and their places with their respective teams. So I asked you this earlier. I'll ask it to you on air. What is the difference between the way Juwan Jennings is going about his contract negotiation or extension and the way Brandon Ayuk went about his last summer?
It feels to me from the outside that Brandon Ayuk was far more negative about the situation on social media. I think people were turned off by, you know, the Instagram stuff. And the fact that he did make some comments public during the course of the negotiation. So I think people feel a certain way about Ayuk and the way he handled it. They don't think he handled it great. They think he handled it somewhat immaturely. Now, you're right. Juwan Jennings is essentially doing the same thing, but I think Jennings' reputation helps him. And what I mean by that is, I think anybody who's a 49er fan who's watched Jennings play for the last 3 or 4 years, they know how tough he is. I think they know how respected he is in the locker room. And I just think he's somebody who's shown himself to be more about, let's say, action than words. And so I think also with Ayuk, there was a perception among some that he was asking for too much money. Let's just say $30 million. Mm-hmm. Like, that's too much for him. Well, we don't know what Jennings is asking for, but I think we do acknowledge, at least right now, he should make more than $7.5 million because he's their number one receiver right now, and I just think he's taken a page out of everybody's playbook with his own little spin on it.
I think it's because he hasn't been as publicly demanding as Brandon Ayuk was. I also think money has to do with it. The professionalism has to do with it. And I think you're right that how people feel about the player is also a big component. You know, Brandon Ayuk, he's a really good player. But in his own words, he's the fourth option in a run-first offense. He tweeted that out right before they got into this, you know, summer dance, essentially. Juwan Jennings, that's not his MO. I can't recall him being braggadocious about himself. I don't get the feeling that he's a look at me kind of guy. He's kind of a red ass, honestly. I mean, he blocks incredibly. He's not afraid to throw down with other teams. He's not afraid to stick up for his teammates. And he's pretty quiet. And I think that's the biggest difference for me between him, Ayuk, and then even to bring it into the Kuminga thing, is that the way that BA and Kuminga's negotiations have played out has been so public. And they've been, in their own way, both very vocal about what they want. And it's not in the best interest of the team. Juwan Jennings and his reported demands of basically just a raise. Like, he wants some guaranteed money and a raise because he doesn't have a ton left and he thinks he outperformed his contract last year. But his demands are not outside of the interest of the team. Ayuk and Kuminga's, I think for a lot of people, feel like they want something for them. They don't want what's best for the 49ers or the Warriors. They want what's best for Ayuk and for Kuminga.
Yeah, I think Jennings, I think Jennings is just doing what he thinks. Like, I don't think, are you saying Jennings is being less selfish than those guys were?
I think that's how people read it.
There you go.
If people thought he was being selfish, we would be talking about what's going on with him a lot more than we have.
Right. I also, like, I don't know whether it must have been the circumstance, but we knew a lot more of the details with Brandon Ayuk. More of those details came out about the numbers and the trade and a first-round pick or a second-round pick. We even had some teams being named, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I also think, and I don't know where it fits into the context of the whole thing, but there's another aspect to it. Who are the guys over the last few years who have been paid? Ayuk, Trent Williams, McCaffrey, Warner, Kittle, Bosa. Like, those are the Purdy. Those are the stars. Like, Jennings probably isn't thought of like those seven guys, right? And so I think one of the things that might be going on with Jennings is, and I get it, there's not the acrimony there for Ayuk, but I think some 49er fans have the right to say, well, wait a minute, Juwan, you're not a number one receiver. You're a number three receiver who happens to be a number one receiver. And with all due respect, you're good, but you're not Ayuk, Williams, McCaffrey, Warner, Bosa, those guys. And maybe inside the building, that makes it less of a priority for the Niners front office.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of curious because I think that what Juwan Jennings is trying to do is he's trying to get more money, which is what Brandon Ayuk was trying to do last summer. But people feel so much different about Juwan,
I know,
than they do about BA. And I'm not trying to say that I think Jennings is a bad guy. I just find it really fascinating that Shanahan comes out last week and says, yeah, well, you got to ask Juwan. Well, Juwan's not been made available because Juwan's hurt and he's got a calf thing. But everyone kind of wink, wink, knows it's tied to the contract extension that he wants. And he's doing it in a much more private manner than BA, who did it in front of the world and basically demanded something. And to me, I'm curious what people think about how these athletes go about getting their bread. A lot of them deserve it. Some feel like they deserve more than others. And where do you fall on it? 888-957-9570. Jesse is in Vallejo. Wants to get in on the conversation. Jesse, good afternoon. What's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Jesse.
Hey. Good to hear you guys. I think that Steinmetz hit on this last year, where Ayuk's, his production, like his targets, he was not a number one receiver. Like he didn't get that many targets. He didn't have that many things, and then he's holding out for $30 million a year. Juwan Jennings showed up the next year and he produced. So I think that there is a definite connection between Ayuk and Kuminga. Kuminga can score you points, but you don't win games, right? Like he was in the playoffs and he scored 20 points a game or whatever, and then they lost all four games. He's not a winning player. Ayuk is not a winning player. So for the Niners, you paid this guy $30 million a year, and then that hamstrung you, so now you can't, like, what is a 14, like, if you split that between two players, when you have questions about your offensive line and your secondary, what does $14 million a year get you on the offensive line? What does it get you in your secondary?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these players, as an organization, you have to, like, and Steinmetz always says, like, just hold out. They're going to pay you. They're going to pay you. They always do. They always do. No, like, Brandon Ayuk was on his last year of his deal. He can show up or not for $14 million on the last year of your deal or not.
Right.
That's the same thing with Kuminga now. You got $8 million or whatever, whatever it is in his last year of his rookie deal. Show up or not. Like, at a certain point, like, as an organization, you got to figure it out. And it's okay. Like, if Brandon Ayuk wants to sit out for his fifth year or whatever it was, then sit out. We'll move on. Because now, look at where you are now.
Yeah, you know what?
Our wide receiver room is still empty. And for the Warriors, what does Kuminga give you? Like, he's fine. Like, he can score, but, like, you're not, like, he's not that good. He doesn't do all the winning. He doesn't make winning plays all the time.
I got you, Jesse.
He doesn't defend. All right. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Good stuff.
Thanks, Jess.
I hesitate to make a statement now about Ayuk and Kuminga that they're not winning players. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga's still 22. He could become a winning player.
Well, Ayuk's proven that he's more of a winning player. Their team went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
is their number one receiver.
That's why I'm kind of fighting back on both those. Here's another part of it that I think. If you're a real Niner fan, because let's face it, if you're a casual fan, you're not that invested in Jennings and Ayuk, but the hardcores are. Okay, so I think if you're a big time Niner fan, and I say, what do you think of Juwan Jennings before all this happened? Well, tell me about Juwan Jennings. Well, he's tough. I mean, there's no doubt he's tough, and I feel like he is very respected in the locker room. I feel like he's a legitimately physical receiver that's, you know, about it, about the contact. I think he's probably their best blocking receiver. Obviously, he's made some of his money on third down. I think there's just to boil it down, I think 49er fans say, Juwan Jennings is a pro. He's a pro. Brandon Ayuk's a diva. If I'd have to boil it down, I think that the perception is that Brandon Ayuk's a diva. He's a diva wide receiver. Then we use that word for guys like him. Jennings is the opposite of that. It feels like.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't think that before his contract negotiation, we looked at Brandon Ayuk like a diva.
No, I don't think we did either.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's why I think that a lot of these negotiations determine the way that we view these athletes and how they go about it. You know, like, their professionalism matters. I don't think Brandon Ayuk was very professional during his contract negotiation. Reportedly, goalposts kept getting moved. You know, there was a difference between wanting the third or fourth year, and after they came to an agreement, when the agent went back and asked for more, Shanahan had to run up the office to prevent them from trading him. It was messy. You know, and Juwan Jennings' contract negotiation hasn't gotten messy yet, but he's trying to accomplish the same thing. And I think the difference for me between the two is that I feel, and I could be wrong, I feel like Juwan Jennings is trying to get his, but also with thinking about what the team needs and his place in helping the team get better. I don't really think that Brandon Ayuk was concerned with how much better the 49ers were going to get. I think last summer he saw Trent Williams get a contract. I think he saw McCaffrey get an extension. He saw Bosa take them for all he could the year before. And he thought, with Brock Purdy coming up, I got to get mine. Like, I got to get mine right now, otherwise it ain't going to be there. And that, to me, is the biggest difference, because if BA was making $20 million, I don't think we would look at him like this. If Brandon Ayuk, for some reason, if it dragged out longer, and he signed a four for $80 million deal, I don't think people would look at him like he's a diva or he's a Malcolm. I don't know what word people use to describe him, but Juwan Jennings, he's just more of a 49er. And I think it's because of how he's gone about this calf injury, should we say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna say that Jennings has any more altruistic reasons for wanting more money than Ayuk. I do think we completely miss the boat when we connect at all a guy in a contract negotiation with his loyalty to his teammates, with how important he feels winning is to the team. I mean, we always use, you know, the very, very, very rare example of a guy taking less money. Well, I'm telling you right now, you want to know what I think's going on with Juwan Jennings? And I get it. People will say, well, you don't know this, Steinmetz. You're right, I don't know this. But I'm putting myself in Juwan Jennings' position. And what happens? Well, the first thing that happens last year is they give, and I can't remember the order of it, but they draft Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
They draft a receiver. Okay, that's the first thing. I got to believe Pearsall's probably making more right now than Jennings. He might.
Perhaps.
Maybe. But okay, so they bring in Pearsall. Fine, he's a rookie. Then they break off $30 million to Ayuk. Fine. Okay, then they go through the season. Ayuk gets hurt. Pearsall has a subpar rookie season for a lot of different reasons. And I just think Juwan Jennings is like, wait a minute. You know, I'm the number one receiver on this team right now.
Pearsall's making about a quarter of what Juwan's
doing. Oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's his rookie deal because he's signed to the back end of the first round. But I do think that there's a thought in Juwan's head last year of like, all right, well, I came into the year as a third receiver because you still had a healthy Ayuk and Deebo on the team at that point. Well, are you thinking about replacing me?
I think that's part of it, too. And now, a year later, he realizes not only are they not replacing me, they need me. They have to have me.
I think that's a big part of it, too, is it didn't feel like last year, especially with the demands of someone like Brandon Ayuk, that team needed him. Now, people, we could have a debate about whether or not they needed him to win a Super Bowl, which is, I think, the whole reason why the Niners gave in and paid him in the first place. They paid to keep that Super Bowl core together because they thought they had action last year. And a year later, we're looking at the team and we're like, yeah, you actually don't need a $30 million receiver. You need like a $15 million receiver, which is what might be the range that Juwan Jennings is kind of looking at. Let's go to Keith, who's in San Jose. Keith, good afternoon, man. What's up?
Hey guys. How's it going?
Good.
How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, I'm just, from a fan's perspective, I'm just saying, get your bread. I don't judge these players. I mean, they look bad sometimes based on the system. I mean, the owners, the teams have all the leverage, and if these players have a little bit of leverage and they use it, that's good for them. You know, I mean, especially with football, their careers are limited anyway. So as much as they can get, they need to get it. And I know the optics with like Jonathan Kuminga, you know, maybe he's not a good fit, but you know, he's young too. He needs to, you know, kind of get that contract. And if the Warriors don't value him, you know, maybe someone will, but you know, he has to try to maximize his value as, you know, as far as it lining his pocketbooks as best he can, because, you know, professional athletes' careers are limited, and the pro teams, the ownership, the league, they have all the leverage. They limit their ability to get this money, so they need to just fend for themselves and vouch for themselves to make that happen. And so I don't judge them. I mean, it's...
No,
it's,
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call.
I got you, Keith.
I forgot you were hosting.
That's fine. You can cut off whoever you want.
Here's what I was thinking, and I
thanks, Keith.
So... You mentioned this to me yesterday. So Nick Bosa can opt out of his contract at the end of next year?
No. There is an out in his
clause.
Contract. Yeah.
Okay.
For the team.
Oh, it's a team option.
Yes.
Or a team.
Okay. I believe.
Well, all I'm saying is is this the standard operating procedure now that if you have a year left in your contract, you essentially hold out? It just feels like the 49ers have mistakenly established a trend that they'll pay you if you make enough stink about it. And maybe they say, yeah, that's the case for our really good players. That those are the guys we do it for. But maybe they're going to tell, maybe Juwan Jennings is the line in the sand.
I mean,
because he's not on that level. I don't know.
The more you talk about Ayuk, the more he's welcome at Steiny's Bar. That's a four from the 925. I think it has to do with the importance of the player.
No doubt.
I can make an argument that Juwan Jennings is more important to this team than Brandon Ayuk was to last year's team. And obviously that's revisionist because we saw the season play out the way it did. But coming into last season, if they didn't have Brandon Ayuk, and you know, all the stuff didn't happen and injuries and whatnot, you know, you could make a case they would have been fine. You know, I think that's why a lot of people at this time last year were saying, trade BA, get off him. You know, you don't have to link yourself to a $30 million receiver who's not really a top five or maybe seven guy. I don't know where you have him ranked. But Juwan Jennings, he's extremely valuable to this 49ers team because they don't have much in terms of receivers. It is Ricky Pearsall. It is eventually going to be DeMarcus Robinson. It is Jordan Watkins. It's a lot of unprovens until Brandon Ayuk hopefully returns and is a former version of himself. I want to squeeze, if we can, I know we got a couple minutes here. Pasta, can we squeeze Larry in San Francisco in? Larry, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I love your show.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, you know, I just want to say, all these contract things, they're going to end up being the downfall of the NFL. It's like it is with the NBA. You know, you signed a contract. Man, play your game, you know? Because you know what I like to see? I like to see owners and teams just man up and say, the contract's the contract, you know, or this. You know what? What if he was balling out and the 49ers decided, we don't want to pay you anymore. We're not going to pay you until you re-sign a different contract. You know what I mean? It just gets to be so old, you know, after a while. Just the same diva players doing that. To be honest, yeah, he's a good player, but he's not a great player. He could be replaced by two or three other players, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Brandon Ayuk was my favorite wide receiver the 49ers had since Terrell Owens, you know? And in the end, when you watch him against real competition, you know, it's not that he's a difference maker. He's just a sure-handed catch, you know?
I hear you, Larry. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. We're a little bit up against it. Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head, Stein. A lot of people think Brandon Ayuk is a diva now, and people don't look at Juwan that way.
They look at Juwan like Kevon Looney.
He's better.
He is, but he's that kind of pro now. You know, he's the kind of guy that... You know, Juwan Jennings will, on the way to the facility, if an old lady got a flat tire, he would help. put a new one on, and he always has change for a dollar.
He just might. Does. Well, he can't right now. He has a calf injury, so he's on the shelf. We don't want him to work too hard.
True.
We're going to bring in Mark Wilder and Dan Dibley on the other side, though, the crossover, and then What's Bugging You, coming up at 2 o'clock, presented by Atco Pest Control. That's all coming up on The Game. Evan Gittings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson with Matt Steinmetz. Back after this on 95.7 The Game, all brought to you by the American Cancer Society.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.